I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of Vicky Pettersson, The Secret 2. I am joined by fucking Welsh legend, Itch from Steps, everybody. Itch? Because obviously your name's Ian, so for anyone who doesn't know, obviously I know it stands for hunk. No, what does H stand for?
Homosexual. No, it doesn't.
Homo.
Oh, it has been huge. No. So the story goes, so I was called H when I was 9 years old. Uh-huh. And it basically stands for hyperactive. That's what it is.
Stop.
Yeah. And I mean, it's been used for many things over the years. You could insert the correct word, whatever you want to think.
Insert, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, have you always been this hyperactive then? Are you quite calm now in comparison?
My children have exhausted me, so I'd like to still think I'm
dance a little... now for haggard.
Yeah, hang in. Oh. I'd like to think I've got a lot of fun left in me, but my children definitely have exhausted me.
Listen, mate, your energy is fucking infectious. Like, I come to this podcast today, I'm on my period, which probably explains why I've cried 3 times. I'm knackered. I've had a long week. My fella's been away. I've been trying to look after the dog, the house, work, everything. But you have made me feel like so full of energy, so ring to go, because you're just like a beautiful, fun, full of fun person.
Oh, bless you, mate. Do you know what? That means a lot, because I'm, I put on a front a lot sometimes. Yeah. And I'm just as exhausted as any other parent, you know. But I am, you know,
I'm just dead inside.
So I'm literally sat here. Like I said, I've been doing Steps interviews all day. I've done the school run. I've had a meeting. I've baked hand. I've written my radio show for tonight. I'm talking to you. And now my children are playing in the garden with my neighbour. And then they'll come back in and I have cooked them tea. And then I go to the studio to do my radio show.
You are balancing so... You've got so many plates in the air. So, again, personal question. I feel like you're just an open book, so I can. But would you class yourself as like a single parent?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I've done that for a long time, yes. And that's hard.
Yeah, it is.
It's not the fairy tale that I wanted.
Yeah.
But you know what? Life isn't the fairy tale that you want, right? You know, we are brainwashed by those Disney films.
I was going to say Disney. I swear to God. It's a good thing they've started making ones like Moana, which let me know we can do things on our own without a fella, because otherwise it was going to be seriously problematic for another generation.
Isn't it? So somebody was telling me that there's a new one out, and it's called Red, and isn't the subtext about a girl on a period or something like that?
Stop this. Well, if it was, I would absolutely watch it, because that's me all over. I'm forever thought about it.
And I think it's about this little character who is called Red, and she sees Red when she's on a period, but that's the subtext of it. Yeah, I think. But don't quote me on that. Have a little look.
I'm going to get my producer to Google that and give us a say whether it's true or not by the end. I think it's incredibly powerful what you're doing. I also think that I read somewhere that you would actually try to go down the adoption route before you did surrogacy, but found the process to be quite triggering.
Yeah. I'd always had this paternal urge.
You always
wanted
to be your dad.
Yeah,
yes.
I absolutely did. You know, I have an incredible relationship with my dad and my grandparents. Mm-hmm. So I wanted that to come full circle for me. I also wanted my dad to be a grandparent.
Yeah, so, lush, isn't it? When you just know someone's going to be a class granddad, you can't let go of it.
And I moved back to South Wales, so I live, you know, half an hour away from my parents purposely, so my children can have grandparents. Yeah. You know, I could have stayed in London. I lived up in North Wales, but I wanted to come back. I had this longing to come back and have my family with my family as well. What was the question? I've gone off track.
I just wanted to let you know, it's probably the perfect time for you to go off track. From your producer, Pixar's latest film has some parents turning red, upset or embarrassed that the animated coming-of-age film makes references to periods.
There you go.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it's important. I am all for it. Go Pixar, you trailblazing bastards.
But you know, talking about trailblazing, I took my kids to see Buzz Lightyear in the cinema last week.
Oh, it's got like really mixed reviews. What did you think?
Well, do you know what? I mean, for me, the classic Toy Story where the animation and the 3D was a little more primitive, I preferred.
Yeah. Was this a bit like too advanced, too snaz?
Well, no, just as a story. And the bit I was actually referencing, which is really progressive, you know, for Pixar, is that there's a same-sex kiss in the movie.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's
so
just...
Hang on, is Buzz gay?
No, Buzz isn't gay, but so the story is...
And I want to be like, I could see that. I could see him in Woody. Is,
okay. No, but you know, I'd give him one. No.
I've got a Woody for Buzz.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. I knew.
I'm so predictable.
It's the content we want.
Give the people what they want.
So there's astronauts and there's... a woman astronaut, and she's a black astronaut, and it just turns out that she's gay, and she has a partner, and they have a little girl, and literally there has been uproar about this little kiss on the lips.
It's America, mate. It's America. It's got to be. Please tell me no one's complaining in the UK. I feel like we're more measured here.
But it's progressive in so many ways. You know, the main characters, Buzz has, you know, these sidekicks, and the main characters are not tall, beautiful, leggy blondes. You know, one's really short, one's really broad. Yeah. You know, one's a black lesbian. It's brilliant.
But it's visibility. Providing like representation for children at such a young age is so incredibly important. Like, I know it's gone viral on things like TikTok and Instagram and all those platforms, but you know, the film Encanto?
Yes.
When you see those gorgeous little girls with glasses and curly hair and like smiling at the TV because they see someone who looks like them. And
yes,
it's fucking long overdue. I don't know why we should be patting everyone on the back with quite so much, because it should have been 50 years ago. But listen, I'm here for it whenever it happened. Okay. The question was, babe, did you find trying to adopt that process triggering?
So I went down the adoption route just because I felt like it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I get that.
I wanted to give a child or children a home and love that they never had.
Yeah, beautiful.
But you know, the adoption process is really, it's quite exhausting mentally. Mm. You know, they dive in quite a lot into your past, into your personal life, into your relationships. So there's a lot of, I guess, if you hadn't dealt with a lot of baggage, you know, when you were growing up, then there's a lot of PTSD there. Basically what happened was we found out that somebody within the adoption process was homophobic. And that's why the adoption never took place. It never got any further, because all of these other couples or, you know, singletons were getting matched with children, had children. And it was like, okay, so we just sat here.
Just waiting.
Yeah. And then that's basically what happened. If I had the balls, and if I wasn't so drained by the whole process, I would have taken it further and I would have called them out. But you know, it was a different, we're talking 15 years ago. It was a long time ago.
Still, like, I can completely understand like where you are coming from. It must have been such an emotionally exhausting process. And I imagine a couple of times you got your hopes up and you just felt like when nothing came to fruition, I would have been done as well. I don't think I would have had any fight left in his mate.
Yeah.
You know what? If that person, not that they are, I'm not probably not their cup of tea, but if they were listening to this podcast, what would you say to them?
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Yeah. And look at your beautiful family now as well. You could have, it just really annoys me, like, that there are these quite clearly, like, gorgeous, lovely little children that just need to be loved and shown that family units can be safe and secure and all the things we're promised they are.
And yet, back then, gay adoption was just, it was new. It was just starting, you know, to kind of make headway. Now, of course, you know, there is no discrimination at all. You know, families are placed with loving human beings, which is the way it should be. But, you know, this was a different day and age.
Exactly. Well, I'm pleased for the progression. Again, a little bit too late, no doubt, but I'm really sorry you had to go through that. I think I'd love to adopt. Is your family unit done, age, or do you think in the future you might revisit adoption, or would it just all be too much for you, bring it all back?
Do you know what? Never say never.
Aye, fair enough.
My children are, and I will praise them. They are so beautiful. They're so kind and well-rounded and thoughtful. They're also a little twat.
I think that's all children, though.
But that's all. Yes. Yeah, so, no, but you know what? You see these images on Instagram, you know, of beautiful, you know, white playrooms with all of the toys, you know, and crisp, you know, white bed sheets. And you, no, mine looks like it's been burgled. If I opened that door there, it would look like carnage. I'm not even going to lie.
Because right now, like before you came on this podcast, I literally had to run to the back of my like kitchen island and like shove all the mess to the other side that you couldn't see. So when I looked at your beautiful sort of like incredibly Instagrammable aesthetic in the background, I was like, this prick has got it all figured out. I opened that door,
literally looks like carnage. It's carnage.
Maybe I'm not even,
if I was brave, I would open the door to show you, but I am no. It's awful. I would be judged.
No, honestly, babe, no judgment from me. Again, we've just got the dog, but we had this gorgeous like idea of this like super Scandi neutral aesthetic for our house. Everything was going to be soft grays, stone palettes, like beautiful touches of black here and there. Like the minute we got our dog, we rang the designer and I was like, that soft gray sofa is going to have to go. So we got one that's like machine washable, like loads of texture in it, a bit like boucle. It's still covered in his willy juice. We made such a mistake. He's bright green willy juice. So listen, like, I just think everybody, no matter what image anyone's trying to portray, like, we've all got willy juice on my sofa. Metaphorically speaking.
Well, it's better than Fanny juice, I guess. I mean,
nobody wants that.
Definitely don't, babe.
So, right then, it brings us on to your next question. Are you single at the moment? Are you looking for love? Like, do you feel like you just got no space in your life? Or
I am in a very happy place.
That for you.
Which means my box is being ticked.
Yes! That's a very, very business-like way of putting it as well.
Yeah, no, but do you know what? I'm very private about that kind of part of my life.
You should be.
Yeah, and as well because I have children and I don't want it to be, I don't put my business out there. I don't put my children's faces on Instagram. You know, a lot of people do, and that's their choice. But my children are mine. My private life is mine. There's enough of my life out there. You don't need to know anything else. But yeah, but I'm super, super happy.
Buzzing here. But it's like you say, it's nice to have, it's, I suppose, very healthy to have that disconnect, you know, like when you're on stage with Steps, like you're one person and you can devote all of your energy to that and be this bright, shiny H from Steps that everyone expects you to be. But it's lovely that you can then go home to the Welsh Valleys or wherever you're living now and be Daddy H and feel like it's different. Feel like you have something for you.
I love that word disconnect. I have that part of me. And this is my home is my sanctuary. You know, I film little bits here and there and I let people in my life, but I don't put every part of my life on Instagram.
I think that's really healthy. I need to learn a bit more of that balance, actually. I feel inspired. But then I'm from reality TV, aren't I, Rach? Whereas like, it's very different because you're from a band, you know, like you've got a skill, a talent, people love you in Steps. People just know me for me. So when I feel like I'm not given every aspect of my life, I feel like people are like fucking bored.
But people love you as a person and they feel like they know you.
Yeah.
It just depends if you feel like they own you. It just is different, right?
I do struggle with that. Again, that's a very good point. Because I feel like I wouldn't be This is turning into you interviewing me on this podcast, isn't it?
That's fine. Crack on. It's like therapy, babe.
Yeah, I felt like I was just sitting with my therapist, but you do have a very nice sofa for it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
No, so I feel like almost beholden to people, because I know that I wouldn't have won the jungle if people didn't get behind us and vote for us and stuff. So I almost feel like I owe it to people to give them everything they want from me, you know? So I struggle with that. So it's really interesting to see there is someone in the limelight who's got that balance right and figured it out and is living it right, I suppose.
I remember, so it was a couple of months ago, and I messaged you after it. And I think you were doing an interview with Lorraine, maybe. Love and you were Lorraine. Talking about imposter syndrome.
I will be.
And I could relate to it a little bit, but obviously not on the scale that you do it, you know, because you that is your life, right? And it's where you started and people love what you do. But yeah, I imagine it's hard to make that break, that disconnect, you know, to draw a line in the sand where when is enough? I don't know.
I don't know yet. Like, honestly, I share everything from like my periods to me like up and downs with Erkan to like everything. So I do think I need to establish some boundaries potentially if I'm ever going to have like a healthy Instagram public/private life. Maybe that'll just happen a bit as I get older, you know?
Is the part private on the dog walk where your tits hanging out and...
Honestly, now it's private age. It's all on.
That's there as well. Okay, that talking about that line. There's the line.
Thanks. You just keep reminding us of that line. No, I know we're running out of time, and I'm aware you're so busy. But tell me, right, what you were doing before you got in Steps and how you got in Steps, because I've just always known you as it from Steps. It's hard to imagine you as anything else. Did you always want to be famous?
Like my middle name will always be From, and my surname will always be Steps. Always. Luckily, you've ditched those. You actually have a surname now. You're not From Geordie Shore. You're literally From.
Kill me. Honestly, still. People come up to say, but you're from Geordie Shore. I'm like, fuck me. Can I not be from Loose Women or the Jungle or something as a break?
No. So before Steps, I was a Redcoat. So I was a kids entertainer.
Oh my God, you'd smash that. I would literally, see you as that.
So I'd run the kids club in the day, and then I did the shows in the evening. But also, before I went to Butlins, I was in art college. So I painted, I was a designer, and I deferred my college to become a Redcoat, as you do.
Yeah. But a little bit of life experience, though. Why not?
Yeah, totally. But I just didn't know what direction my life was going to go in, or where I wanted it to go, because I loved painting, but I also loved drama. Mm-hmm. But recently, I started painting again. And I found this whole new love of art and, you know, being creative. And I was doing something for me as well. And I've had a couple of exhibitions and sold out exhibitions. Yeah. So yeah, I've got the bug again, and I need to do a lot more for me.
So you were very conflicted at first, obviously found Steps and all the rest of it, but now you're nurturing that other passion. That is lush. Oh
my God. It is.
I want to see your artwork. Where can we check it out?
Well, I mean, I set up a little Instagram page that I don't update very often, but it's Ian H. Watkins Art.
I'm going to follow you right now. Honestly, we are looking for some work for our new cinema room. I'm going to commission the shit out of you.
Oh, I don't know it depends what you like. So I do like landscapes, very expressionist.
Beautiful.
Rather than still lives, that, you know, realism.
oh yeah, well, I don't want any like tits in my cinema room. Don't think I want like anything like that. I would prefer landscapes.
Well, I'm not going to paint you with your tits out, babe, but...
Show me like one of your French girls.
I knew you were going to say that as well. I knew. Hashtag predictable.
Damn it. Damn it. No, we've just got the same sense of humour. I'm not accepting unpredictable.
Can you actually tell that since the time we've been talking that my tan's developing? I've got oranger and oranger.
You are looking good, hon. I love it. What tan do you use? Are you on fake it?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember. But so we're doing a show tomorrow. We're on stage tomorrow. And then we have a big pride celebration the day after on ITV. So I'm tanned and ready.
Good lad. As you should be. Right, come on. All that like steps of history, because just so you know, like I'm sure you hear this all the time, but I was fucking obsessed with you guys. Like obsessed. Like I wanted to be Faye when I grew up. Like I've met her loads and she's like 3 months older than us. I've no idea why I thought you guys were like,
she is lush.
She's amazing. And I loved your music. I loved your songs. Like we learned all your dances. Like it must be so great. And I'm wondering, is it so lovely? What I was going to say is to like, and I'm assuming your audiences must have changed. You would have saw like me as a teenager, you know, when you were doing it, when you were, is it just women my age now? Like, you know, doing the tragedy dance, like living for it. Are bringing their kids? Like, I wanted to know what your audiences look like now, because it must be very different.
Do you know what? Peter Waterman was so clever. He was so savvy.
Yeah.
When he was writing our songs and putting us together and had the idea that he wanted us to be just more than a one-hit wonder, he wrote songs that appealed to parents as well as children.
Yeah.
And that's why now all those children have grown up.
Yeah.
Their parents come along with them, but they have kids as well. So there's three generations.
That is lush. I've seen a picture actually of one of you, I can't remember if it was maybe Claire Foley's on Instagram, with like three generations of fans, like an actual like mum, daughter and granddaughter there, and they all loved you. That's lovely. That's fun for all the family.
It's incredible. And you know, it's testament to Pete. And I guess it's why, and there's no disrespect to our peers, you know, bands like S Club or Five or Atomic Kitten or 911, you know, all of those bands.
You're just my generation right there.
But they were all aimed at the teen market.
Yeah.
Whereas that's why Pete was so clever and it transcended that. That's why I think that's why we are around still filling arenas now, 25 years later.
Oh my God. Well, you know, it's not only that, yes, a testament to Peter, I think, was very clever, but also like I heard somewhere that the reason people like, when they first were around, they said their pleases and thank yous. They were lovely, whether it was the fella getting them the tea or whether it was the person directing their video. They learned everybody's names. They were polite, respectful, and wonderful. And now, when they got given their second go, to the researchers, the runners, everybody who was like making their tea, whose names, Howard, Robbie, you know, Gary learned, they were now the ones in charge 20 years later. And they remembered how take that made them feel. Like, you know, like they weren't just a piece of the furniture. They were an integral part of the cog. So that's why they got their second chance. And I feel like you guys must have been like that too, H. Like, I can't imagine you guys being anything other but respectful, grateful, hardworking. So that is probably why you've got this amazing second turn and all.
I hope so. I mean, we've always treated, you know, everybody has their off day. I'm not going to say I'm absolutely not perfect, but I will always give somebody the time of day. I'll always say please and thank you. I'll never demand for someone to bring me a coffee. You know,
I can't imagine you've been demanding.
No, but none of that. No, but you know, I'm tired sometimes and I have off days, but I will never demand. I'll never be a diva, you know.
Who is the biggest diva in the band? Who is the biggest diva?
Define diva.
Sass pot. So who's most likely to be late?
To be late, Lee. Lee has always been late, but now he has a little boy. He blames it on being a parent.
Now he's even later.
But I have twins and I'm always early.
Well, it doesn't fly with us, Lee. It does not fly with us.
It does not, never.
Mate, I've had the best time. You've completely turned my mood around. Like you're just sunshine in human form. But before I let you go to your very many different hats that you have to wear, here on Vicky Patterson The Secret 2, we always ask our gorgeous guests to give our lovely listeners a little pearl of wisdom. And you make fatherhood and juggling that with a busy career look easy. You make it look seamless. No, but I want to know, what is your secret to stepping into fatherhood?
Oh my goodness. Do you know what? I wish I knew the answer to that because I'm winging it.
Yeah.
I look like I have sorted and I know what I'm doing, but I don't.
Always be so honest.
There is no secret. I mean the one thing I try every day and it's a practice is to be present, especially when my kids come home from school or if they want to talk, you know, because it's very easy to go, okay, I've got to pack the school lunch tomorrow, I've got to
get distracted.
All of that. But all your child wants you to know is, do you like my drawing of my submarine? You know, so I try just to be present. And that's actually probably the little golden nugget of advice I could give. Mm-hmm. Be present. Just take one day at a time. Enjoy the now. And I know that's so easy to say, but it's so simple.
And it's just such like, such good advice. And you know what you've said about like winging it and stuff, it's so relatable because I take a little look on Instagram each and you'd be forgiven for thinking everyone's got it all figured out, wouldn't you?
No. Do you know what I did? I recently was chatting to Rob Beckett, you know, about parenting.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I did his podcast. Uh-huh. And that was a scream because, you know, he tells us it is, you know, it's carnage in his house. And mine is very, very similar.
Amazing. Well, I'm going to let you go. I know, good luck for this weekend, all of your gigs and stuff. And listen, congratulations on the new Front and Gogglebox gig. I'm so jealous.
Cool, right?
Yeah, quick one. Do we actually film in your house? Because my producer just told me they set up fake home sets.
Yeah, they're all fake home sets, yeah.
Oh, I feel like my whole reality has just been ruined.
Robbed.
I feel so lied to.
Yeah, it was a good gig, actually. I enjoyed it. And it's the Pride special, so it's not a regular. Who knows if they ask us back?
Oh,
but yeah, but I love that you know, Pride is so visible now.
Yeah,
you know, people are celebrating for all the right reasons, you know, not just to kind of go, hey, we celebrate Pride. No, they're really being inclusive and being educational. And, you know, it's brilliant for my kids and my friends' kids just to see. It's awesome.
It makes you have a real sense of pride.
Ah,
she's so cheesy. I love you, babe.
Lots of love, babe. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Mwah. Well, guys, that was the incredible H from Steps, or Ian H. Watkins, to give him his official title. But in my...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Part, he'll always be H from Steps. I hope you loved that as much as I did. Honestly, I think you can tell how much I really rate that fella. I was grinning from start to finish. His energy is just infectious. If you are loving listening to Vicky Patterson The Secret 2, please do all of the podcasty things that I tell you to do. Tell your mates, leave a review. And the brand new one that I am really hammering home is please subscribe. Take care and have a great week.